Well, the stories of courage and bravery that our soldiers showed in World War II, they are incredible. We've covered many of them on this program over many years. But some of the personal tales of love and family that intertwine with the battle of survival are often unknown. Well, author Marianne O'Connor explores some of the romantic and special stories of our heroes that fought for our country in her book, Worth Fighting For. Now, although this is a novel, it's based on real-life events and explores the highs and lows of a golden generation that faced the darkest days of World War II. Worth Fighting For is about 18-year-old Junie Wallace, who's forced to marry a local landowner, Ernest, to get her family out of debt, only to break the heart of her love, Michael Riley, a young drover who joins the army underage just as war looms closer to the Australian shores after the attack on Pearl Harbour. Brilliantly researched, it's an epic family saga, brings home the importance of mateship, as you'd expect, and tells the tales of some of the most remarkable heroes, well, you've ever read about. Marianne O'Connor, author of Worth Fighting For, is in the studio with me right now. Thank you very much for coming in.
You're welcome, Chris.
Now, going back, I guess we should start with what you wrote originally, the best-selling book Gallipoli Street, and that was based on your grandfather James Clancy's experiences.
That's right.
Is that what got you connected to this genre of writing?
Absolutely. I mean, it's an unusual thing for a woman in her 40s to actually have a grandfather that served in Gallipoli, but he was very young. So he was only 17. And
wow.
It just always struck me what an incredible experience for a 17-year-old. I mean, I've got nephews who are 17 and they're going off to schoolies, you know, these guys going off to war. And it really struck me that it was an incredible thing that he did. But they didn't know. You know, they got on those ships thinking it was a great big adventure and it'd be over by the time they got there.
Yeah. Now, your uncle Des Clancy was a pilot in World War II.
That's right. Right at the end. He actually had a really important job with the radio, with AWA, and they wouldn't release him to go into the army. And that really, you know, people sort of in those days called you a chicken and all that sort of stuff, and it really affected him. And in the end, he kind of forced them to, and he joined the Air Force. And he was fully trained right at the end of the war, and the war ended.
Right.
So he was a trained pilot, no adventure to be had, and so he went off to New Guinea and became a patrol officer and ended up being very loved by the local people and became district commissioner and an explorer. So he went into parts of the Shangri-La Valley that are still largely unexplored today. And he was the first Caucasian man they saw and they called him Ghost.
And because of the colour of his skin?
Yeah, they thought he was walking around dead. He was a very tall man, very glamorous sort of Hollywood-looking man.
Yeah.
And it's an incredible thing to think of these crocodile-infested jungles and this, you know, amazing. But he was a very charismatic, beautiful person. And I used to sit when I was a little girl listening to his stories thinking he was larger than life.
Well, it's almost a romantic part of someone's life as it is, without the romance.
Oh, well, in actual fact, he did have romance, but not till later. He met a beautiful young teacher who was working with the native children, and he married in his 40s, which was very late then, and had two beautiful children, and they lived in Western Australia.
So you base this novel on real-life stories of your family members, and researching this, where are the sources that you use to research something like that?
Do you know the best resource, aside from soldiers' letters, I really think is just listening to your family? I grew up the youngest granddaughter out of 56 cousins and 23 aunties and uncles.
Sure.
So, big Catholic family.
Yeah.
And I used to hang on every word. I like to sit around the kitchen table with them all while they had their cups of tea, and I was the youngest, and I'd sit there and soak them in because they were real.
And ask and ask and ask.
I did. Yeah, I really did. And I love to tell stories, so I love to listen to them as well.
So your mother, Dawn Best.
Yes.
She features in this, and her grief at losing a beloved brother-in-law in the war, and her fear for her own brothers, right?
Yes, that's a very real thing for my mother. She's 82 now, and she still talks of it like it's yesterday, the day that Uncle Jack got injured, and the postman came to the door, and he wouldn't give my nana the telegram because it was addressed to the man of the house, and they had to send for Dar, and she waited all day, and Mum remembers standing next to her 7 years old, just waiting all day to see if her brother was alive or not. And he was injured, but many of his friends died in that explosion. Yeah.
What an incredible relief in some ways.
Oh, I know, but what a terrible thing to do to a mother, you know. Yeah, I think the thing that struck me writing this novel was how much fear this generation went through. I don't think we have any concept just how afraid they were.
We often talk here about the possibility and probability of terrorism, etc.
Yes.
But we know how random it's become, and so therefore we know that there are very, very limited chances of lives being impacted. And yet in these times, everyone seemed to be impacted either directly or indirectly.
That's right. I mean, if you didn't have someone in your family, it would be someone very close to you. Yeah. In my family, there were three uncles, four, actually, one was killed.
Yeah. The locations in the book are based on real places, such as the Stain Hotel in Manly, and you made discoveries when walking the streets of Mossman. Oh, is that right?
I love that part of the world, you know, and it's a great pleasure to write about it and walk around on my research days, having lunch with mum and my sisters, really. But it's beautiful, you know, it's a sparkling, peaceful place. And it's hard to imagine. They had barbed wire along the beach of Manly, rolls and rolls of barbed wire, you know, and they cut down some of the pine trees to put a machine gun in. And it's such a beautiful, pristine place. It's a crime in itself, you know.
So Junie Wallace is forced to break the heart of Michael Riley, who's a young drover that gets accepted into the army. But do they reconnect? Or can't you tell me right now?
I really
can't. I can't reveal it to you, Chris. Thank you very much for asking, but I can't reveal it to you.
That's the big plot twist I can't tell you about.
Michael trains in a special unit called the Elite, a little-known real-life World War II unit that operated out of Liverpool. Your uncle Jack Clancy trained here too.
Yes. Now, he went and joined up when he was 18. On his birthday, it was just after war was declared with Japan and just after Pearl Harbor. Mm-hmm. And he turned 18, went down to join up, and basically he got found out by his parents, so they kept him and some other young guys for a year, and my grandfather was their sergeant.
Right.
Yeah. And they called themselves the Elite, which was a bit tongue-in-cheek, but many of them got killed. Most of them got killed.
You also write about the explosive battles of the Pacific Campaign to the fighting, desperate fighting in the New Guinea rainforest. Why did you want to highlight that? Because of what you knew occurred in that neck of the woods?
I think, yes. First of all, because I wanted to end up in Shangri-La, because I wanted to talk about Shangri-La, because it's like the land that time forgot, you know, it's so romantic and amazing.
Yeah.
But the Pacific Campaign, it's just such a lovely chronological way to write a story, just following that campaign along and ending up in New Guinea. That was treacherous stuff. I don't know how they survived it. Mm. Many of them didn't, of course.
But have you been there?
No, I've been to the northernmost parts of Australia, but I was advised not to go because it's quite dangerous at the moment.
Yeah, I bet. And then you're continuing on the same genre. 2017, you've got a book about Vietnam, Warflower.
Yes.
Wow, when will your writing career cease?
Never.
Or is it only just taken off?
It's only just taken off. I've become a writer at the same age my father became an artist, and he ended up having a wonderful career. So start another career in your 40s.
Yeah,
it's worth fighting for.
Worth Fighting For is just happens to be the title of the book, Worth Fighting For, and you can get it at all the good and bad bookstores, whatever bookstore is near you, have a look for it. Worth Fighting For, Mary Ann O'Connor, and of course, Mary Ann, the best-selling author of Gallipoli Street. So you can pick that up. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.